Welcome to the Better Business, Better Life podcast. I'm your host, Stuart Wilkinson. Today we're going to be talking about banking and what technology is coming our way that's going to revolutionize banking as we know it. To do that, we're joined today by Shane Marsh, who's the co-founder of Dosh. He's in his first digital wallet, which launched at the start of October. Shane and his co-founder, James, have come from 3 years in Singapore, where digital wallets and technology in the banking sector with open banking is mainstream, and they're looking at bringing this technology to New Zealand, and it really questions the way that we do things like payments, whether it's between friends or as businesses. So it's a great insight of how business owners can think differently to help cash flow, but also reducing costs when it comes to transaction fee or merchant fees. We've got all the links below to Dosh and all the information we go over today. But if you do like this podcast, please give us some feedback and rating where you're listening to us. But also please subscribe and make sure you check out all the information on the social medias of Rightway for all upcoming episodes. Hope you enjoyed the episode. Shane, welcome to the podcast.
Great, thanks. Great to be here today.
So Shane, I think that we got just in our pre-talk there, there's lots we can cover here and lots of directions we can go. But I think with you guys, your experience of you and James as the founders of, you know, working in Asia, in Singapore, and understanding that this technology is quite mainstream in a lot of countries, and how that compares to the New Zealand banking system and how traditional it is. Do you want to give a bit of what's the landscape, one, in New Zealand and how traditional that is, and maybe people don't realize how traditional it is, and two, what is going on in other parts of the world which are really pushing different ways around payments and banking in general? And also, I suppose the other topic is, which is, you know, a bit in the press now, is what is open banking, which we can get into. But yeah, what is going on in the world, I guess, around banking and how things are changing?
Great. Yeah, look, it's a really interesting topic. And perhaps I'll start with the context of the New Zealand marketplace. So New Zealand is actually quite unique in the world stage, because as a country, our financial system is dominated by foreign players. Mm. You don't see that in other countries, right? Other countries have national banks that are the main banks in the country, and then you'll get a few different kind of foreign banks come in. So New Zealand is dominated by four Australian-owned banks today, and a lot of those decisions about actually what happens in New Zealand actually take place in Australia. And New Zealand follows that. So that's decision makings in terms of investment, decision makings in terms of compliance and what we're looking to do with customers. And in fact, the Australian regulations apply to the New Zealand banks because they're owned by Australian headquarters. So it's so very, very different than the rest of the world in that way. And the banks here are really challenged because they have old legacy systems. They've come under some scrutiny from regulators in recent years, and there was a Royal Commission in Australia that had implications in New Zealand. And so the view of the banks is really about, you know, taking investment and keeping the lights on to keep the business running, and solve regulatory issues. And then if there's money left over, then we'll spend that on innovation. So it's certainly not through a kind of lack of great talent, because the banks have wonderful talented people in them, and they have ambitions, but they're just not really well placed to innovate. So in that way, New Zealand is a market that's dominated by foreign institutions, and there's a real lack of innovation in the market that's flowing through. And I'll talk later about, you know, why, you know, organizations such as Dosh are really important to come in and start to kind of challenge the status quo and bring in new different solutions, and the banks recognize that, and we actually have the support of, you know, three of the banks here in New Zealand. Looking outside of New Zealand, there's been some what I describe as a perfect storm of change that's happened in the last 3 to 5 years, and that firstly is open banking. So open banking is a term probably most people haven't heard before. But it relates to a movement that started in Europe, whereby they decided after a few banking issues, particularly in UK, that they needed to create more competition in the market. But the problem with competing in financial services is the barriers to entry are very high. So they made changes called open banking under something called PSD2, which forced the banks to effectively open up their systems and their data so others could come in and create new innovative services using the bank's infrastructure. And that led to a flurry of new and innovative players and new services. And then that spread. So outside of Europe and the UK, effectively around the world. But perhaps like all things that start in the UK and spread, we're on the other side of the world. So
the farthest part to come to.
Yes, the hardest part to come to. And so while open banking is well progressed in most parts of the world, including Australia, it's only in its very infancy here. And Chris Farfoy commented in the papers just over a year ago that he felt the banks were dragging their heels on open banking. So since that's occurred, there's a bit of political pressure. There's a little bit more movement, but really we're quite a long way behind. So first part of the perfect storm, open banking. Second part.
Just an analogy that people would understand. Would that be similar to what the telcos went through years and years ago where they, you know, whether it's British Telecom or Telecom here, where they owned all the infrastructure, but then obviously legislation came up, which then opened it up for different players. Is it something like that would be similar, or whether was it the energy companies? Is it that sort of similar type of change in the market, which is very centralized, that then opens up the infrastructure to other people? Is that a kind of good analogy, or am I just barking down the wrong?
I'll choose the telecommunications one because I was working for Telecom at the time that it happened. But and so I know that example well. So that's a really good example. What's interesting though about open banking is it's opened the door to financial and non-financial institutions come in and play. So you large corporates, you see Woolworths in Australia, you know, playing in the financial services space because you now can. I think the telecommunications one is a really good example for people to think about it, how you're taking that big infrastructure and that big barrier and lowering it to let other people come in and compete. Mm.
So with that, Shane, like, what's some really good examples of, you know, when you say about open banking, you know, it's create some innovative solutions in some non-financial and financial examples here. It's funny you mentioned Woolworths in Australia, because I remember, you know, before I came to New Zealand, being from the UK, Tesco's, one of the biggest, I think it is the biggest supermarket chain in the UK, they brought in banking, and part of it was to, you know, start to get understanding of your buying habits and that kind of stuff. But it is interesting how different people start to then enter different markets. But what is some really good examples of some innovative things that are now happening in this space overseas, which, you know, could come to New Zealand potentially, but what's open banking allowed and some solutions that benefit customers and business owners, I guess?
Yeah, so at a kind of high level, one of the main changes is that you no longer need to see your bank as your provider of financial services. So it's kind of that's a big statement, right? I mean, people say, financial services, I go to a bank. Yep. Well, that's not the case anymore. So you don't need to go to a bank to get your financial services. And in fact, you might find that your customer service you'll get from a new provider is quite different, and the experience you have is quite different from a bank. But let's talk about a couple of really kind of tangible kind of services that have come out of this type of new innovation. So the first would be request to pay. So someone owes you money today and you want them to pay you back. It's quite a song and dance, right? So let's do it in New Zealand, right? So Stuart, you owe me $10 and I want you to pay me back. So I'm going to ask you for that $10. You're going to say to me, Shane, that's great. What's your bank account number? I don't know it. It's 16 digits long. Well, I'm not that intelligent and remember 16 digits in a row. And I'm going to say, okay, but I'm going to go find it. I'm going to give it to you. I'll probably email it to you, text it to you. You're going to put that money in your that number in your internet banking. You're going to pay me. You're then going to tell me you've paid me. And then I'm going to go check maybe an hour later, but maybe a few days later if it's the weekend, to see if that money's turned up. And when it's turned up, I'm going to say that it's arrived. So that's how people pay each other back today, right? It's a bit of a song and a bit of a dance. Today, and this is available in Dosh today, is if you want to request to pay someone, you just click request to pay. I choose Stuart, she's $10. I say, put a nice little cheeky comment, come on, mate, pay me back. And I send it, and Stuart gets that instantly on his phone. He clicks confirm, and the money goes back. And that happens instantly 24/7.
Yeah.
So that the whole friction around the processes as they happen today have been replaced by very easy, fast, and innovative solutions and digital apps.
Yeah,
that's one example of how things have really kind of changed, taking all the friction out of the existing example of practices.
Because in some ways, Shane, it's not. Yeah, there's the whole delay in banking and the money movement that's probably there. But it's funny, even though you do it not every day, but it's the sharing of the information and connecting your kind of the bank account aspect and the communication around that transaction. You know, you think about the number of touch points and things you need to share there. That is probably more a cumbersome part than actually the banking part. Like when you just said that, I thought copying it from my own internet banking, putting it into a text message, and then sharing with my account number, you know, which, you know, don't want that flying around necessarily everywhere. So texting it through, they'll read it. Hopefully they'll text it properly. If you get that text wrong and get the wrong number, then they'll come back. Like, there's just so many things that could go wrong, and there's so many little copy and paste and whatever you got to do in your mobile phone to get there. It's quite interesting that in this world of convenience and stuff that this hasn't moved forward, because in most other places you just wouldn't accept that, would you, anymore? Like, really?
Yeah, it's where we've come from, you know, and it's been the status quo for such a long period of time. The world has moved forward though, and it's time for New Zealand to move forward as well. I'll give you another example that I think most of your users would have, your listeners would have done. That's the Trade Me purchase, right? So buy something on Trade Me and, you know, you're successful. The first thing you get is an email from the person saying, hey, good luck and well done, you've been successful, and here's my bank account number. And then you go back through that dance of putting it in, sending the money. I'd just got back from overseas, and a person had bought something from me, and they contacted me on the Friday and said, can I come pick it up on Sunday? And I said, yes, well, if you either pay me at the time or you pay me beforehand. He said, well, I've paid you. I said, well, I've looked in the bank account. It hasn't arrived yet. And then the stress built up was, would the money arrive before the banking system shut down for the weekend would determine whether he would come on a Sunday or not. But today, if you want, the way it works today overseas and now works with Dosh is that you don't email them your bank account details. You email them a QR code, which is linked to your digital Dosh wallet. And the user just scans that and pays you the money, and they receive that money instantly, and they get a notification the money's arrived on their phone.
That's so it's crazy, isn't it?
It's crazy. So all those steps, all that angst can now all disappear.
And I think linked to this, you know, because I've seen Trade Me have got, was it Ping or something they've introduced as a payment structure and stuff, but similar to other things we've got. And look, there's been plenty in the press around this subject of transaction fees. You know, and especially when we had early in the COVID pandemic, when let's go contactless, and then small businesses are going, yeah, but I've got to pay another 3% just so you can scan your card on my FBOSS machine and stuff. You know, linked to a lot of this is that it's expensive to, as a business in particular, as a business owner, if I'm a small business, retail, whatever, accepting payments is quite an expensive business, isn't it, Shane? So is part of what we're seeing with open banking, but also what Dosh does, is part of it also giving instant access and much better simplification in some ways of payment, but it is also to try and reduce fees and the barriers that people have around this, the current infrastructure we have?
Yeah, that's correct. And so today, I'll call them the merchant service fees. It's the kind of, you know, banking term for it, but it's the fees you pay to receive payments for a business. So today, on average in New Zealand, that's the third largest expense for any business, and behind their premises and their staff costs is the fees they receive they pay to receive payments.
Is it? I didn't know that was this third.
So it's really high. And it's not just the cost of the transaction. It's the cost of the terminals as well. And so why is that? Well, in New Zealand, there's really two ways to pay. People say it to you when you go to the till. Cash or card? will that be cash or card? And if it cash is dwindling, and so it's often a card. And if it's a card, it means it's goes through a scheme, which is generally the MasterCard or Visa. There's multiple parties in that transaction. There's a bank, there's a processor, and they're all taking a clip on the ticket.
Yeah.
And some of that is what the business pays to enable that to take place. And of course, the sum of many parts becomes a material number. And for small business, you add that on top of the terminal cost, and it's actually adds up to a lot of money. It's really, really tough on small businesses in New Zealand. It's so much so that the government's now stepping in and looking to regulate that cost. And so why are they doing that? It's because New Zealand has one of the highest merchant service fees in the OECD. And while they've pushed and, threatened and done everything to try and get that cost to come down, it hasn't come down on its own. So now they're looking to regulate that next year.
It's part of that, Shane, that you look at open banking's done overseas, and is that simply a byproduct of competition being able to actually challenge the status quo? Because like you said, you've got four main banks that control, and they're finding a percentage points of market share, and there's Kiwi Bank left over and some small other ones. But is partly what's really needed with this open bank is that it provides competition and different solutions, which then challenges that, because competition often is the way to get cheaper prices, isn't it? I guess.
Yeah. So competition without doubt brings in new services and brings down prices. So, and that's, across any industry, that's proven to be effective, and it's proven to be effective in financial services and with open banking. But the other thing to note here is that, the existing banking structures don't necessarily allow for easy innovation, as I mentioned before, because they're old and it costs a lot of money just to keep them going. But it's also the basis on which all the fees and the models have been built up over years. Mm. So in order to disrupt that, you need to create a new system, a different system, a system that's not linked to banks and card providers and processors, et cetera. And so that's an example of that is what Dosh has created. We've created our own ecosystem, in that the payments don't flow through those mechanisms. They're part of the banking system. Our money is held in a trust account with a bank.
Mm.
The safety, the security, and the trust of the banking system. But the actual payments and flows don't go over that system to incur the charges.
Yeah.
So just very simply, what does that mean? It means that you can pay from one Dosh person to another Dosh person, or one Dosh person to a Dosh business, without the funds flowing through those mechanisms. So without the fees of the same extent, without the monthly costs, without the hiring the terminal. In fact, you don't need a terminal anymore because your mobile phone is the terminal.
Yeah.
Your mobile phone presents the QR code, which is scanned and someone pays. So it takes away all of the existing infrastructure that is on which the cost is currently based.
And it's interesting when you look at what cloud's done for businesses and systems, whether it's Xero, and having up-to-date financials, whether it's your point of sale software for something like Vend or something like, there has been so much innovation in that space to give business owners like lower barriers to entry to get good technology and better systems and inventory, or Shopify for your website or whatever it is. But this final part of payments is the one that's not moved at all, is it? So Shane, look, we talked about this before, and you, one of the things you said to me is you want to challenge business owners on thinking about how payments work Because you know we have this ingrained mechanism, as you said, cash or card, pay me on the FBus terminal, or I'll send you the bank details, kind of thing. So, with these technologies coming in, like Dosh and digital wallets and those sort of things, how should business owners think differently about payments if it, you know, we went back to the old blank piece of paper, because there are different solutions this provides. So yeah, do you want to talk through how business owners can start thinking differently with this technology that's coming into New Zealand?
Yeah, so I think firstly you need to take everything that you understand, your starting basis position for payments and banking and the movement of money, and just throw all that out the window, right? So just start with an absolute blank sheet of paper and think about, you know, if we were to optimize and identify the best way to do things, how would that work, rather than making it work under the constraints that we have today? So I'll give you a few examples, right? So one of the assumptions is that when you have a person come to your house and do some work, a tradesperson comes to your house, that they will send you an invoice sometime later, you will pay them sometime later, and that probably takes a few weeks. But what if that person could present a device, a mobile phone with a QR code on it, once the job's done, and you could just scan and pay them instantly, and they would leave with those funds and take all that angst away. So for there, the difference for the small businesses, I don't need to go through the manual process anymore, the billing, et cetera. Or even if I do want to send an invoice out, what about if I just put a QR code, the Dosh QR code, on that invoice, and so people can scan it and pay me, so they don't have to pay credit card fees or do credit card fees. And it's just like another example. So the assumption is that people get paid fortnightly. You get paid fortnightly and the money comes in your account, and you try and line that up around your mortgage payments, and that's how the world works. But what if you could get paid or pay your staff 24/7? What if the person who finished their shift on a Saturday night walked out the door and you pushed a button and the money went instantly into their account, and they had a card linked to that account, and they could then walk from their shift into a restaurant and buy some food with that money, buy a meal? You know, very different, right, than doing your work and then waiting to be paid sometime later. So that's all possible as well. And then I suppose the case in point around, you know, how do I get paid as a business, cash or card? I've just come back from 3 years in Singapore, and at the leading supermarket chain there, there's 15 different options on how to pay at the till. Okay. So the world has moved on. Cash and card is an option, which is a historical option, and there's new options coming into the market that provide consumers and businesses new ways to be paid.
And I think it's really interesting because Xero, they provide quarterly business insights on all their countries, but you know, New Zealand, and they gave an update, was about 2-3 months ago, and that was obviously as we started going to lockdown. And one of the biggest things they report on is the average payment dates from invoicing, you know, debtor days for businesses. And they, you know, due to lockdowns and stuff, they were starting to push out, which, you know, is huge strain on cash flow. And when cash flow is already tight for a lot of small businesses through due to COVID. But we're also in an environment now of inflation and on supply chains. So there's plenty of on business owners' mind. But like you said there, Shane, the ability to turn that into minutes, not days of payment. I've done my job, I've been paid, I can move on, knowing that money's in my account, it revolutionizes that cash flow cycle, because often I've bought some parts, I've bought some materials to do that job at your house, so I've had to put the cash out. Maybe that's in the morning. So that the business owner is always looking at how they fund that, whereas this mechanism turns that completely on their head to a 24-hour cash cycle of I've paid, got the supplies in the morning, had to pay that, and I've been paid by the person I'm doing their work straight away, or, you know, whatever it could be, rather than 10, 14 days down the track. Oh, they've forgotten. So I've got to ring them up and go, or send them an email and get them to remind them. That's another week. You know, it's incredible what that could do for, but it is in some ways around this, Shane, the biggest change people's thinking, because we're so ingrained in this, the banking system we're already in.
Yeah. So we've found that the people who are most kind of engaged and early adopters with Dosh are people who have lived overseas, because people who have lived overseas have experienced the new way in which things work. And so they are very keen to have these ways adopted in New Zealand. And I really felt it coming back to New Zealand as well, as like, some of the ways of paying I enjoyed were not available here. And so the challenge for New Zealanders is, well, how do we bring this into being the norm? And it's really about, early adoption and curiosity and trying new different ways of doing things. And to be honest, that's really hard at the moment, because businesses are suffering. They've had a horrid time through COVID. They're just trying to keep the lights on and keep the business moving and operating. Thinking about kind of new different ways of doing things might not be a number one priority at this point in time. And so, one thing that we're looking to do is to really, I suppose, help people in terms of understanding what the new options are, how these new solutions can improve their business, and then helping them kind of get up and running and trialing them out. So we have customers today who, an ice cream truck who accepts cash or Dosh. We've got gyms that accept cash or Dosh, and their users have really kind of jumped on board. And so it'll be one business at a time, and for each one that we bring on board and we help is a new set of people who will experience the new ways of banking. Mm.
Yeah, but I guess it's so often we see, though, going back to that transaction fee, the whole you go up to the FBOSS machine and they go credit card 2%, 3%, and so I guess a lot of those costs that whether it's small retailers or small trades or whatever it might be, whether it's the transaction fee part or it's the convenience part, you could argue, is it chicken and egg? Do you have the people on it first before you become a business? But I think as business owners, if you start to go, well, hey, I can get on board now. I can, especially if we've got, like, I think a great example down the road from me in Hillcrest, we've got a lovely little coffee cart, and I go there every morning before, with my daughter before daycare, and they're not a big business. They just do coffees, ice cafes and stuff. And I just think of, they will be on tight cash flow, and, the payment is, it's just an FPOS machine, which they've obviously got a fee for, but they've got, a very good regular clientele, And so I see sort of people like that, where loyal customers, a bit of education, it wouldn't take much to get that in that community, in that one suburb. Then you get the dairy down the road, which is three stops down, where he's a very good sign about 3% for his credit card. Very clear. He's got three stickers around it. But getting into those communities, could make a difference to that business. But also, people get on board, then that starts to spread the word, doesn't it, Shane? So I guess, most of our listeners are business owners. Is the advice, start to be, as you said, curious about these different things, because they can make a huge difference to your customers and your cash flow and your business as a whole.
Yeah, and we're a small business too, right? I mean, we're I think 7 weeks old, and we've got big aspirations in terms of what we want to do in the New Zealand market. But we're a Kiwi branded, Kiwi owned business, looking for the support of other businesses to help us, drive this evolutionary change. And we're looking for people to jump on board and be part of the journey. We'd really appreciate that. And we can hopefully in turn help and kind of support the businesses that are our customers. So it will, you're quite right, it's a little bit chicken and egg, right? Because what we're seeing at the moment is two types of kind of consumer acquisition, because people see our marketing and word of mouth and people coming through and using it for consumer purposes, but we still seeing a lot driven by merchants, so businesses that have Dosh as a payment option, and people see it and they go, oh, that's interesting, and they sign up for Dosh at that point in time, and pay the merchant that way. So, you know, in a lot of ways, you're kind of doing, you know, consumers are doing businesses a favor by using it, because, you know, they might not be saving themselves money, but they're going to be saving the business money, choosing to pay in that way. So, I think, to be honest, to really kind of bring this to market in a wholesale way, it's going to require, you know, both the businesses and the consumers coming together and agreeing that there's a better way to do this, and we want more alternatives, and we want more alternatives than just cash and card.
Yep. Now, the one thing I know you guys do, and this kind of broadens out just past that digital wallet, but also I guess shows what this technology can do, is I know, Shane, for Dosh, there's the ability for merchants to then look at promotions and offers and all that sort of stuff. So talk us through how that would work for a business owner.
Yeah, so that's right. So we have a merchant portal, which is what the businesses get free access to, which is where they see their transaction data, and they can create their static QR codes, which they can put on their counter but to be paid, or they can link a mobile phone to that portal, which means that they, when you receive money on that phone by showing a QR code, that flows into the account. So that's the standard kind of offering, free to access that for businesses. What they can also do is for a subscription, add in the marketing module, which means that they can create offers, discounts, and even cashback to the consumers who are paying them to encourage them to come to their shop and to pay by Dosh. And that's actually, those offers are created in the app and appear in the consumer's app under a tab called Dosh Deals. And so we saw a gym recently. They wanted to raise money for a good cause. And so they did a Dosh deal promotion. And then a lot of people saw that and went to the gym, and they raised quite a good amount of money through the promotion of that service within the consumer app. Now, that solution's really great, but it's pretty basic compared with what you'll see overseas, which is, you know, consumers, you know, to do a couple of different purchases at a cafe and get a free coffee, which they can redeem. It gets kind of much more advanced than that. My co-founder James's favorite thing was he used to buy a coffee and round up the price to the nearest dollar, and then that rounded up amount would go towards a Google share, which was invested on his behalf. So there's the opportunity. Yeah, it's crazy, right? I mean, the just really starts to stretch your imagination in terms of how these wallets, these apps that connect businesses and consumers, where you can take them. You can take them in all sorts of different directions with lots of different opportunities, and, you know, consumers accessing great offers, businesses attracting great consumers.
Yeah, and I think, look, again, I'll use my coffee cart lady, but, you know, you go there, you buy a coffee, and then by the side there's a little rotunda thing where you get your little coffee card, and she's got the stamp, and you stamp it. But the ability there, I guess, Shane, down the line with your technology, is that could become one, isn't it? You know, automatically they're going to know this is your fifth coffee or whatever, or some deal of the day, and promote that to their clientele, and just make it a lot easier for the business, but also really a really good experience for the consumer, then, that you're combining the two rather than a pole punch thing on a piece of paper.
Look, the physical loyalty card shouldn't exist in today's society.
Yeah,
it should be a digital card sitting in a digital wallet that someone clicks on and shows to the merchant, who scans it, and the person gets a free coffee. That's how it works today elsewhere in the world. We can absolutely add that into the Dosh wallet, and, you know, we're kind of forming up our roadmap at the moment in terms of where we want to, you know, take the proposition. But, you know, loyalty and loyalty cards is absolutely one of the kind of staple products that most digital wallets will develop within their systems.
I guess, just to wrap up, Shane, I guess, What would be the couple of, you know, the merchants you've had, what are the most common questions people have about this new technology, or concerns that you have to go over with them to go, you know, what's the sort of, you know, as it is quite for a New Zealand leading edge, but what, you know, if people are sitting, if we've got business owners sitting there and they're going, oh, okay, I kind of like it, but what about this? What would be those couple of things you think that are going on through business owners' minds at the moment that you want to kind of go over now on the podcast?
Yeah, look, we get a lot of questions, a lot of interest and a lot of questions around, you know, so how does it work? And, you know, so actually just getting people comfortable with using the technology is key. And, you know, most of our business customers are also consumers. So actually, yeah, I think the best thing to do would be to kind of download the Adosh app to start with, and then we can kind of move you from kind of being not only consumer customer but also a business customer as well. You know, people are really focused on the cost. And so, you know, how much is it to sign up? Well, it's free to sign up. It's free to access the system. And we only charge transaction charges, and those transaction charges vary between 0.75% and 1.5%. Who can use it, right? And, you know, for us, there's certain kind of segments, customer segments that at this stage are more kind of useful, find this solution more useful than others. And that tends to be the smaller business. As you mentioned, kind of maybe one point of sale, they'll do, you know, kind of plenty of trades that maybe even have like a, you know, coffee cart type thing is very useful.
Yeah.
Anyone who's mobile, any outdoor markets, anyone who's got relatively non-complex, you know, point of sale systems, etc. You know, the big structured retail, the new worlds, etc. You know, our solution is probably not ready for them yet. So it's more the smaller retailer. And to be honest, the smaller retailer, the cost is, you know, is proportionally higher, you know, to have these terminals, et cetera. So there's a real cost saving there for people.
So Shane, if we've got some curious business owners listening to this and they want to get started, where do they go? What's the first steps? What do you recommend?
So if you're wanting to find out more, we encourage you to go to our website. This is www.dosh.nz. In there, you've got information about both the consumer and the business side. If you want to apply for a business account, so you can jump in and have a look, you actually apply in the website. There's a form that fills out, comes to us, and we'll be in contact to help set you up. And then there's the opportunity to actually just go into the App Store, search for Dosh, download the consumer app, have a little play. We've got a referral campaign on at the moment, so opportunity and more kind of specials heading up towards Christmas to, you know, encourage people to get in there and start using it. So my encouragement would be to get curious, you know, not accept that the status quo of today of limited solutions, high costs, foreign providers, that doesn't have to be, that's not the way forward. So, you know, really looking forward to engaging businesses and kind of broadening out this discussion.
That's awesome. Well, for all the listeners, we'll put in the show notes, or wherever you're listening to this, on the little spiel, there'll be a link to the Dosh website. So we'll make sure you've got that, links to all their apps and those sort of things. But Shane, thanks very much. Exciting times in reality for business owners with all this technology coming in and what that can do for payments. But thanks for coming on the podcast.
Yeah, thanks everyone for listening. And thanks, Stuart, for the invite to the program.